Hi, I'm Sarah from Bloom Wellbeing, and I'm here today with Solly Goods from businessgoddess.com, and we're all talking about alignment today. So this audio recording is part of the one of the bonuses for the people who are doing my Busy Woman Stress Makeover program. And so what we're talking about today is stress and alignment, or I guess lack of alignment for want of a better word. And if you're not sure what we're talking about when we say alignment, we will explain it a little bit better in the coming moments. So Solly Goods here is a business coach and an energy coach, and she has a business called businessgoddess.com where she supports women who own heart-centered businesses to really make the biggest impact on the world that they can and to really live their true fulfillment of their life and their dreams. And she's just an amazing resource, and I love everything she has to say, so I wanted you to hear a bit more about her as well. So welcome, Solly.
Thank you, Sarah. That's a beautiful introduction.
Well, you're a beautiful woman, so you deserve a beautiful introduction. So what is alignment? You and I talk a lot about alignment because it's one of our favourite words, but how would you describe it to everyone else?
Yeah, so being in alignment is really about being in the state of being connected to your own true essence. So being in the energy of being yourself, who you are when you're just in your relaxed, natural state, rather than trying to be something that you're not,
yep.
Which most people, spend a lot of time trying to fit themselves into different roles, different responsibilities, pleasing other people.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that we do that is about, trying to please and trying to fulfill duties and obligations that is not necessarily in alignment with who we are when we're being true to ourselves.
Yeah, because there's a lot of pressure on us, isn't there, from society, from other people, from friends, from relatives, and even from our conscious selves. There's a lot of pressure to be a certain way or to do a certain thing or to act in a certain manner, when sometimes that just isn't us, and it gives us that little icky feeling inside, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it really goes back right to the very beginning and knowing who we are in essence. And like really connecting, I guess, what I do and the way that I consider who I am as a being. I have come up with the umbrella label for myself of being a spiritual entrepreneur. And I think that having an understanding of ourselves as a spiritual being or an energetic being is so important in really knowing who we are and how we fit into the world, rather than seeing ourselves as our roles.
Yeah, you make a really good point there, don't you? Because I think we can get so lost in the real nuts and bolts and practicalities of day to day, and we can really define ourselves by those roles that we do. So I'm a mother, and I'm a worker, and I'm a wife, and I'm a daughter, and I'm a friend, and this is what I do during the day, so this must be what I am. But that's not necessarily true, is it?
No, and I think what I've done a lot of, really deep inner personal discovery, and what I arrived at is essentially I'm an energetic being of light.
I love that.
Yeah, so
that's awesome.
Here for a human life experience, and when we actually can really connect to that truth, and I believe it's a truth, and you can check for yourself if you feel that it's true for you by the way that it feels in your body. Sometimes your mind goes, oh, well, what a load of shit, that's fooey.
Energetic being of light,
yes. Yeah, and what does that really mean in practical terms? But essentially it means that we actually are part of the unified field of life. So we existed before we came into physical form, and we will actually continue to exist after death.
Okay, so I guess when we take that back to stress, because this course that people are doing is all about stress management and how to improve your stress. So from my perspective, the important thing about alignment and stress is that if we aren't in alignment, that causes us stress. So I often see a lot of people who have this situation where they'll say, you know what? Everything's great. You know, I've got a great husband. I've got a good job, in little inverted commas here that no one can see because we're on audio. I've got a good job, I've got a good career, I've got a good husband, I've got good kids, but something's not right. Mm-hmm. Something's not right and I just don't feel great.
So yes, I think, Sarah, the way that it all connects is that when we don't know who we really are at the deepest level, then it's really hard to be in alignment with that truth.
Yep.
So when we think we're just purely a physical being, you know, and that life begins at birth and ends at death, it can be really hard to find that deeper meaning. And so a lot of the choices that we make are based on the programming that we receive from all the external messages that we receive from our parents and our schools and the media that tells us this is what the ideal life looks like and this is what we should work to achieve. And so we can go ahead and fulfill all of those, you know, external boxes to tick and still not be fulfilled because we're not actually really in alignment with the truth of all of who we are.
That's right. And that alignment is completely individual, isn't it? So, you know, what our personal alignment is going to be completely different from anybody else's.
Absolutely. So, yes, we're as unique as the grains of sand on the beach or the snowflakes, every human being.
And it takes a little bit of exploration to figure it out, doesn't it? Like, it's not like you can just sort of wake up one morning and know exactly what your life's purpose is and what your true inner being is. It takes a little bit of trial and error and a little bit of exploration, doesn't it?
I think it's revealed as we look for it. So Einstein, who is a brilliant human being, brilliant being of light, really, he spoke about how the quality of our life is determined by the quality of the questions that we ask. Asking those questions about who am I and what is my purpose?
It's funny that you mentioned Einstein because back in week one I actually mentioned an Einstein quote because I asked the participants in this program to really be open to some different kinds of thinking because I was about to present to them some things that might be a little bit different. And I thought some people might, if they're not experienced with this more spiritual or holistic kind of activities, might be going, what is she asking me to do? That's a bit weird. I'm not going to do that. And I asked people to really... to kind of, you know, put that fear aside for the moment and to really just try some things. Because one of my favourite Einstein quotes is something along the lines of, you can never solve a problem with the same kind of thinking that created it.
Correct.
And I think, you know, it's so true, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we're trying to figure everything out from the level of the mind and just consciously kind of logic and rationalize our way to decisions, we miss connecting into like the depth of our wisdom. So there's so much more to us than just our our sort of limited human mind.
Yeah.
And when we can actually understand ourselves as part of this greater whole, and that we're kind of like a piece in the puzzle, you know, and become open to, like, what is my unique part to play?
Yeah.
Then life becomes really exciting. It becomes this juicy, amazing adventure.
Yeah.
And the way that we actually really discover alignment and become clear on our unique purpose is through feeling it.
Yeah.
When we start to actually allow our energy and awareness to drop down into our body,
mm-hmm.
so we can breathe deeply and we can actually become present,
mm-hmm.
rather than having our mind, you know, whirling at a million miles an hour, just overthinking everything.
Yeah.
Driving ourselves crazy and creating a lot of stress.
Which I think so many people in today's society have that because we are trying to do and be everything that society tells us we need to do and be. And so we are just overthinking and just exhausting our little brains all the time.
Yes.
So what's some of the things that... because I always talk about the mind-body connection, and so I'm really interested to get your take on how we can tell when we're not in alignment. What will show up in our physical being or in our mindset? How do we know that we're not on the right path that we're supposed to be on?
So it's a felt experience, and in its simplest form, the things that are in alignment for us are expansive. So... the feeling in our body is being able to relax and breathe deeply and just feel at ease. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in our essence.
Rather than that feeling of compression and weighed down.
And contraction.
You know, contraction. And we see, we're doing this, you can't see us here, but we're doing this kind of postural thing where we go into the fetal position when we explain this. And I think people see that. They see when people are fearful, they kind of close up physically, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's about starting to become aware of that for ourselves. And a huge part of it is as simple as just noticing our breathing. So just letting some of our attention be in our body, mm-hmm. so that we can, you know, wiggle our toes and feel our feet on the floor and just be aware of our body, because all the information we need to make the best decisions for ourselves and find our true alignment is right within us in every single moment. We don't have to look outside of ourselves. And that's something that has actually been shut down and trained out of us from the earliest age.
Yeah.
And it's done with great intention, because when we're little, our parents' job is to keep us safe, to make sure that we don't, you know, harm ourselves or die from physical dangers and risks.
Yeah.
So we learn to look to our parents as the authority. And then when we go into school, we learn to look to our teachers as authority. And when we come out of school, we learn to look to our bosses as authority. And it's a really big process to actually realise that actually now, as an adult, as a whole human being, we need to give ourselves permission to be our own authority.
Yeah.
And that we need to seek that confirmation from within about what's right and what's not for us, rather than looking for those answers from outside sources.
Yeah, and it's quite confronting for some people, isn't it, to have that thought that everything we need to know is within us, because we are told that we need to learn from outside of us. So yeah, it's a big leap for a lot of people to take.
Yeah, and it really is, because like we're still carrying the information you know, genetically in ourselves from all of our ancestors. And, you know, in past generations, being accepted and being part of the crowd was vital to survival.
Oh, that's right. Because if you were on your own in the you know, in the caveman days, you were going to get eaten by a brontosaurus. Well, not a brontosaurus, because they were herbivores. A T-Rex would eat you.
Yeah.
So you needed to be part of the tribe. You needed to be ensconced and safely within a community. And so we still have that ancient part of our brains that tells us fit in at all costs. You know, don't make sure that people like you. Make sure that people, you know, want you to be part of their group and want you to be near them. And so we have this unconscious drive to be liked and to be part of a group. And then we will sometimes do things that don't fit and sit well with us to be part of that group, because there's that, you know, ancient part of our brain that I call the lizard brain is competing with the more, you know, aware and conscious side of our brain.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's a whole other piece to it that's come in for us in our modern society now that we're using money as well, where money has become this tool of exchange that is so, like, intrinsically for us connected with survival, because money equals food, equals shelter, equals warmth.
Which
equals
are our innate needs for survival, aren't they?
Yes, money equals staying alive.
Yeah.
And so there's been this really big collective dysfunction around, like, putting aside what our values are at the deepest level, you know, who our humanity, who we are and what really matters most to us most deeply, put that aside to get the money you need to survive.
Yeah. Do what it takes.
Yeah, and there's an amazing statistic, it's a US-based statistic that says 80% of people are unhappy in their current employment.
Isn't that sad?
Oh, it's soul-destroying.
But there is such a common theme in society that work is laborious, that work is not enjoyable, that work is just work. And to, you know, when you explain to people that you love your job and that you love what you do and you look forward to going to work every day, people look at you like you're a loony.
Yeah.
Like, what is wrong with you? Work's horrible. Work's awful. There's this huge mindset around work being something that's really negative, when work can be really positive, it can be really amazing, but only if you're working in a field that's aligned with you, with your purpose and with your true self, isn't it?
Absolutely. And that's the new normal that I'm so excited about supporting, you know, the emerging of, helping to facilitate that for my clients and, you know, all the people in my life, just really supporting us with like, we are so blessed. We have so much abundant opportunity. We can, you know, access so much resource and information and opportunity to study and to try new things, to explore, to find what our unique purpose is. There is no reason, and there's no excuse to stay stuck and trapped. And you will know it, because it can range anywhere from just a divine discontent, mm-hmm. where you can just feel like there's something more
Something's
for
just
you.
Not right.
Yes. Yep. All the way through to serious stress, where like Monday morning when you have to get up and go back to that job, you would rather die.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And there are some people who are, you know, in tears on the bus going to work because they just cannot bring themselves to face another day at work. And that's just soul destroying, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so sad to think that people feel that way, that they are so negatively charged about what they're doing for the next 8 hours
and feeling totally disempowered about doing anything about it.
Yeah.
And yes, the biggest thing is to realize that you actually do have choice, and you can start, you don't have to quit your job. You know, but you can start by exploring your options and just like trusting those feelings, that if it feels out of alignment for you, it is.
Yeah.
And there's something else.
That's
so
right.
So start opening up to that curiosity. Yeah. Of what else? What is it for me?
That's it. So it's about not just accepting the status quo, isn't it? It's about, you know, saying, I want more and I deserve more and I can have more. And sometimes that takes a lot of work. And I think sometimes people aren't willing to take on more work because they already feel like they're so exhausted and tired, they don't have any more to give. But the ironic thing is that when you find a path that's more in line with who you are, then it feels okay giving that bit of extra time, because you actually get so much more back from it, don't you?
Yes, and there is another piece to it. It does require courage. And one of the skills that you need to develop to really be able to be in like alignment with your true self more of the time is learning to say the inspired no to those things, people, places, you know, situations that are not in alignment. So that can be, you know, we know when we're spending time with people, often we can come away from a situation and feel completely drained and depleted. They have just absolutely sucked the life out of us.
Yeah.
But we keep on
emotional
doing it.
Emotional vampires.
Yeah, yeah. We don't want to upset them, you know, like
people pleasing.
Yes.
You know, it's a very common trait, and especially with women. This is a course for women. I think women particularly are people pleasers, you know, and because we want everyone around us to be happy, we want to be accepted, we want to fit in. So we just try and make everyone happy, and it will never work. It just, unfortunately, we just can't have that power.
No, and we can't be responsible for anyone else but ourselves. And really the biggest, most powerful impact we can have is to actually lead by example and be in alignment ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, connect in and, you know, find our purpose and express that.
Especially for those of us who have children, who have families, because, you know, our children are little tiny sponges and they will absorb everything we put out there, whether we're doing it consciously or not. So even from the very earliest days, if they see mum being exhausted and grumpy and going to work and hating her life and hating this, that's what their reality that they grow up with is, that work's a horrible place and people are miserable and that's just how life is. And I'm sure that's not the reality that any mother out there wants to put forward for her children. But it's unfortunately what happens, isn't it?
Absolutely. Unless we make the conscious choice to like really discover our true path and start to be guided from within.
Yeah.
Because.
And you mentioned when we were talking about setting up this interview, you mentioned a couple of principles, and one of those was begin with the end in mind. And that's really, I really love this principle. So I'm just really keen for you to explain that a little bit more.
Really good. Thank you, Sarah. Yeah. So one of the bodies of work that I studied that was really helpful for me was The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by a gentleman named Stephen Covey. And yeah, really sound information about how to create a significant and meaningful life, you know, that is satisfying from the inside out and honours your true values. And the principle, begin with the end in mind, comes from him. And there's actually an exercise within there that basically takes you through a visualization to imagine your own funeral and eulogy. And just thinking about, you know, from that point of your physical life's over, your human life on earth in you know, this time round is done.
Yeah.
And like looking at what it was in your life that really mattered to you, the, you know, the people, like the achievements, like what was actually significant. You know, you don't want to basically live your life just dealing with surviving in this moment, go to work, pay the bills, go to work, pay the bills, go to work, pay the bills.
That's not what you want to see at the end, is it?
No.
Yeah.
So by having this, you know, like awareness of what is it that really matters to me and beginning with the end in mind, you can see like where it is you want to end up, so you can like navigate then from where you are now, making those decisions that align with that,
yeah,
that can move you towards what it, yeah, is you ultimately, you know, want to have experienced and created in your lifetime.
Yeah. So it's little, it's a little, you know, guidepost, isn't it, to sort of show you where you want to go, so that you know when you're faced with a decision, you can think, okay, well, is this going to take me closer to that place or further away from that place?
Absolutely. So it's your compass, or
yeah,
it's your true north.
Yeah.
And your internal guidance system is that feeling of, am I in alignment? Is this moving me towards that?
Yeah.
Or, you know, is it off track?
Because I think we can so often lose the big picture focus, can't we, when we're, you know, stuck in that grind of the minutiae of day-to-day kind of stuff. We can really get drawn down into that here and now, what's happening and how terrible it is kind of stuff. And for some people, it's really confronting to actually think about the end of their life. I mean, we have such a fear of death in our society, and you know, people don't even want to talk about funerals or wills or anything that's related to death. And so to actually, you know, kind of imagine your own funeral and your own eulogy and what people would say about you, that's very confronting for a lot of people. And, you know, it's about being able to be comfortable with that, because we are all going to die.
Yes.
You know, that's the truth. No one lives forever. And so if we can accept that and not be afraid of that, then we can work backwards from that, can't we?
Absolutely. And it's really empowering, because it gives us so much more appreciation and presence, you know, to how miraculous life is in this moment.
Yeah.
And this is really the moment.
That's right. And you have a really powerful story about that yourself, don't you?
I do,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Which...
So... the other, you know, the other catalyst other than death, and you know, and once you die, it's too late for this lifetime.
That's right.
You know, but one of the things that happens for a lot of people, and has recently happened for my husband, is that injury, serious injury and illness, can be a catalyst for this, you know, reassessing and like asking these deeper questions.
Yeah.
Because there's so many people just like skating over the superficial surface of life.
That's right. But when you're faced with a really serious injury or illness, you're forced to reassess, aren't you? You're forced to really evaluate, and it, you know, it's like a glimpse into that possibility of death, isn't it?
Yeah,
and to
absolutely.
Think, okay, wow, that was, you know, I've been brushed with that. Gosh, what do I do now?
Yeah. Mm. So for my husband, he's been through the ringer in the last few months. He was really in a place of just being like completely stuck in a rut and feeling really compelled to have to keep doing what he'd always done for the people around him and for the money.
Yeah.
So he felt very like oppressed by his situation. And, you know, even though he's got me providing support and, you know, prompting him to explore his options, you know, knowing that there's always options, there's always more.
Like you said, you can't change anyone, they have to make decisions for themselves, don't they?
Absolutely. And so for him, life stepped in, and there was a motorbike accident which resulted in two broken shoulders.
Wow.
And he has always worked as a stonemason, so, you know, really physically fit and strong and working manually. So that's been snapped away from him, not an option.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, a cancerous testicle, which has resulted in 9 weeks of preventative chemo. And the whole experience, I think, has just stripped him of all of the roles and all of the things that he thought he was.
Yeah.
That now he realises he's none of that.
Because it took away all those superficial things, doesn't it? That I'm a stonemason and I'm this and I'm that.
Yep.
Yeah, and all he was left with was who he is inside.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is infinite possibility. Infinite possibility.
Yeah.
And how do we then, because that can become overwhelming too. You know, we can get like so inspired that there's so many ideas and opportunities, we don't know which to choose. And that again comes back to like which one really speaks to you.
Yeah.
Which one holds the most energy, you know, and that's the one that is right for you in this moment. And it's okay to choose. Like,
yeah. Yes. Yeah. And it's okay to change. Things might change as well, mightn't they?
Absolutely.
You know, you might find at one point in your life, this is the passion and this is the drive that you have. And then in another decade, it might be something completely different.
Yeah, it's always evolving and always updating.
Yep.
So, yes, the mind wants to latch on to, okay, now I've got it.
Yep.
I know what it is.
Yeah.
But it's never done. It's,
yeah,
continuously unfolding.
Yeah.
But I do believe, Sarah, when it comes to purpose, you know, our purpose in life, there is a generic answer to that. And essentially our purpose has two parts. One is to be the fullest expression of our true self in whatever form that takes.
Yep.
And the other is to support other people in being the fullest expression of themselves.
Yep.
And basically to utilize our creativity and wisdom to bring about the best positive outcomes for everyone, you know, to create solutions.
Because could you imagine a world where everyone was the fullest expression of themselves, where everyone lived life with purpose and, you know, fulfillment, and not necessarily, you know, overriding joy and happiness every day of the year, because that's really not possible either. But if we all lived with passion and purpose and fulfillment and knew that we were, you know, we were on the right path and we were doing great things, that can bring us through those hard times, can't it? It brings us through those rough days, because we know that we have passion and fulfillment, then we're on the right track.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I feel like the purpose is at the core, and it's that place to keep coming back to. Like, my purpose is to be my fullest expression. My purpose is to support other people in being their fullest expression. And then our passions fuel that.
Yeah.
So we can have many passions.
Yep, yep.
And, yeah, I think it's Maya Angelou who said that she had a palette of passions.
I love
you
that.
Know, and that's how she, like, painted her life, with her palette of passions.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, I think it's possible, so why would any of us settle for anything less?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
That's right, that's right. And so then just coming back to your husband, because we got a little bit sidetracked with his story. So what has been the outcome that he's still going through this chemo at the moment,
yes,
isn't he? And he's still very much in the thick of this reassessment. So what's happened though? Where has he moved from where he was, where he was stripped back? What's now changed?
He is in a process at the moment, and it really is a deep inner, I guess, personal transformation of just finding out who he is without all of the external influences. So just having, like, because he's now disconnected from the daily grind of the work that he was doing and all of the people that he was spending the most time with, it's like he's finally in this place of quiet and stillness where he can hear himself.
Yeah.
And just really, like, starting to get comfortable with that. And one of the, I think it's a, like, toxic belief that is in rampant oversupply across the planet, in the Western world especially, is this fear and belief that essentially human life on Earth has gone too far in an unsustainable direction to bring it back. People are like, they've looked at it, they've assessed it and gone, like, this place is fucked. Like, I'm just going to basically numb myself to it. And
there's no hope.
There's no hope.
I give up.
Yes. Yeah. And that mindset, a lot of people are not conscious of it. It's something, you know, it's an underlying discontent. But it's not until you actually challenge that thought and realize that you are actually an infinitely powerful and creative being, and that your life matters, and that what you choose to do with it is going to make a difference, whether it's a positive difference or a negative difference.
Yeah.
And if you settle for less than your best and less than your fullest expression, then you're sharing less than your best and less than your fullest expression.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we are impacting on each other.
That's so, it. There's the ripple effect, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Well, we've talked about a lot today. And this is the sort of conversations that Sully and I have all the time. So we love these sort of chats. And I know it can sound a little bit woo-woo for some people, because a lot of people might never have even dipped their toe into the pool of holistic health and, you know, universal kind of, you know, the whole concept of,
I think,
universal power and
spirituality has been shut down in the mainstream because religion has given it a bad name.
And there's a very big difference between spirituality and religion, isn't there? We're not talking about, you know, the construct of religion. We're talking about spirituality, and we're all spiritual beings, because the spirituality is that essence, that part of ourself that's not physical, it's not cognitive, it's just, it's there.
The life force energy.
Yeah, and we all have it, and it's what makes us humans, and it's what makes us not be robots. So, you know, and we need to realise that spirituality is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's not a woo-woo thing. It's not something to be scared of. And I think as women particularly, we can take the lead in this, because I think women do have, you know, that natural ability to tap into their spirituality a little bit more than men sometimes, particularly because, you know, with men it's so frowned upon a lot of the time that they're not allowed to look at their spirituality. It's a little bit, you know, a little bit cuckoo. So, you know, if women can lead the charge, then we can, you know, be encouraging everyone around us, including the men in our lives, to start to disconnect with who we are, you know,
to trust
in
yourself,
our soul, and yeah, and then that can change how we perceive the world and how we react with other people, and it can just change our whole experience of life.
Absolutely, and absolutely reduce stress, reduce that, that discontent and that lack of satisfaction.
Yeah.
You know, where no matter how much stuff you have, how much status, you know, how much money, how much, like, how good the holiday looks on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know,
it's all just superficial,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, yeah. It's about how it feels. Yeah. How does it feel?
Yeah.
Yeah, you might have more enjoyment just, like, going and laying on the lawn in the backyard. Like, you can let it be simple. It doesn't
have to be hard.
That's
it. It doesn't have to fit into some sort of societal notion of what a perfect life is or what it looks like. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Sully. That's been a great discussion, and I really hope everyone got something out of that. And if you'd like to know more about Sully, please go and check her out at businessgoddess.com. Is it
.com.au?
So yep. businessgoddess.com.au. Sorry, I should have checked that up first. And yeah, you can find out a bit more about her and her services there. And until next time, try and find your alignment. That's our number one tip. Thanks, guys. Bye.